This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show as we got 2 hours still on the clock as we continue to roll on an FEIF Friday. If you missed anything in hour number one, just go to ESPN975.com or podcastarena.com and make sure that you hit on the show tab and then make sure you catch up on what you missed. Or better yet, like we always tell you, just download the app. You can take us anywhere and everywhere from the United States to foreign countries as we're finding out more and more with people chiming in from countries around the globe listening to The Usual Suspects.
Yeah. Somebody got on to me yesterday because I was saying Estonia, and they were like, Barry, it's Estonia.
I thought he was talking to me when he said
no,
that.
No, he was saying me because it's spelled Estonia, E-A-S-T-O-N-I-A or whatever. So I was saying it phonetically, Estonia, and he was like, it's Estonia. Well, I don't care. It's whatever.
I mean, it's kind of...
I got it wrong.
Well, actually, I was going to blow the next line by... Jeff Jaffer. That was his next line.
Jaffer Con?
Yeah.
Jeff Jaffer Con.
I was literally going to steal his joke, and I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, no, God, don't do that.
Yeah.
That
would suck. I mean, I was going to give credit, but then I remember we didn't play it yet.
Yeah. Oh, the Syrian one?
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Jaffer Con.
Can I tell you, when I first started comedy, they brought him up like that? John Wessling was like, this next guy, all he wants to do is rock you. It's Jaffer Con. Oh, that's pretty
Jaffer
funny.
Because I feel for you.
Yeah.
So, disturbing news for me.
Okay.
Clearance is on hold.
Oh, well, that's disturbing for all
of
us.
Yeah, first for all of us, right? But the disturbing news for me is Nick told me in the break that he and Clarence are a year apart in age.
I said, because I remember when I was getting all that heat for not knowing who Ed Sullivan was, he was the one that was like, dude, I'm like 34 or 35, and I know who Ed Sullivan. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. And he
Ed
said it
Sullivan,
on the air.
Johnny Carson, so Clarence, Ed McMahon.
You can ask him to confirm, and if I'm wrong.
Believe me, we're good.
Oh, yeah, bring him up. Pot him up. Clarence.
Yeah, guys, what up?
What's up? How old are you, Clarence?
I am 34.
You're 34 years old.
Well, how did you gain the other 20 years?
You have the voice of a World War I veteran. Why do you sound so old?
Well, you know, odd life, I guess. I don't know.
That's awesome. You do sound old, though. You sound like an old-ass man.
Nobody at nine? I don't know.
Sound like somebody's, like, great-great-grandpappy. You're like, yeah, get over here. Like, you're just, you have that old voice. You're an old soul, I guess. 34? God, y'all make me feel old.
Clarence, are you sure you didn't go on Craigslist and pick up 20 years somewhere I wasn't aware of?
Well, you know, I stood out on a couple of corners on the Bourbon Street.
Lots of whiskey and cigarettes, huh?
Were you hooking or what were you doing? Because, wow, I couldn't believe it. But more power to you.
I'm not saying you look old. You just sound really old.
Well, you know, these are some highway miles on me.
I want to hear Clarence just go, I seen skies blue. Nice. Little Louis Armstrong.
Nice.
All right, Clarence, what's on your mind?
Red house.
Didn't need to hear that, Clarence, but okay.
I like it.
Red house.
I like it.
There we go. All right. Man, you know, I hate to say I feel bad for a multi-million-dollar quarterback, but I feel bad for Eli. He, you know, you get all the praise, but you get all the criticism at the same time. And, man, that Giants team is just bad.
No, they are.
Eli gets the brunt of it with his dinking and dunking and not taking real chances. But, one, if your offensive line is not giving you nothing, you're a statue back there. What are you going to do? Get rid of the ball. Yeah, I know he's completing a high percent of his passes, and is not – any large chunks that he's doing. I mean, he's trying. And you can't really blame Eli all that much when your defense is giving up so many yards. And it's supposed to be a good defense, but I seen last night on one particular drive when he had that penalty. And after the penalty, freaking Eagles had like 3rd and long, and he gave them all up.
Yeah, but and here's the thing, Clarence. I'm the first one to say I was wrong. I thought when they benched him last year, when Ben McAdoo did what he did, that that was the wrong move, and it, you know, it ended his streak of consecutive games played, and they didn't have anybody better. And I thought, you know, give him the right situation where there's a team around him and he's going to be better. But aside from the game against the Texans where he looked pretty good, you know, he looked really bad last night. Now, some of it you put on the offensive line, because that offensive line was like a sieve, and especially the right side was just getting attacked. But overall, when you read the lip service from your head coach, if you read lips and you could say, just throw the ball. I mean,
I read it last night, too.
It was terrible. Shurmur was just upset, and their offense was just nothing but dink and dunk. And it really gave a lot of credibility to what OBJ said to Josina Anderson, because they don't throw the ball down the field.
It really does, and the Giants' offensive line is making a Texans' offensive line make like Hall of Famers. I mean,
yeah, absolutely right.
He cannot do anything, guys.
No.
Y'all enjoy y'all Friday. Hey, Nick, stay young.
All right, man. Appreciate the call, bud.
Did you see Geno Smith tweet after the game? By the way,
see Nick, you could be sounding like Clarence.
See, I didn't.
What's weird is
I'm just glad I was right, because I didn't want to like age him or
Clarence has the voice of a 50-year-old man, and you have the body combined.
Oh, see, what happened to Joel?
Why are you putting your head down, Joel?
Because I asked you a question.
What did you ask me?
Did you see Geno Smith's tweet after the game?
No,
Eli was so bad.
You asked me, so you put your head down?
I
like
just
a
let you guys finish
the desk?
It. He tweeted out after the game, you owe my boy Mac an apology for Ben McAdoo, because saying that they should have given not fired him and that Eli should have been benched and stayed benched, to which someone tweeted back, you owe the whole Jets organization an apology.
Yeah,
Geno Smith's not the guy that should be talking.
Or telling anybody to say sorry.
True. But, man, that was just a bad look overall. So... other than that, by the way, I don't know if you saw this or not. It was breaking when we got ready to start the show. But Didi Gregorius of the Yankees, that wasn't a wrist problem, evidently, when he slid into home and they were worried about his arm. He needs Tommy John surgery.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Now, they're saying because he's not a pitcher, he may be able to come back next season. But he's going to go under the knife as a shortstop and have Tommy John surgery, and they'll see how long it takes. But they're not anticipating that he's going to play a big role for the Yankees next year. You know what that says to me?
They're
Hello, Manny
on.
Machado.
Well, I think that obviously when you start talking about guys like Manny Machado, the short list starts and ends with the Yankees, right?
Right.
I mean, they're the only ones that are going to throw
Dodgers,
stupid money.
And the Dodgers have the stupid money, but the Dodgers also have a guy in Seager coming back, ironically, from Tommy John surgery.
Yep.
But if he comes back and he's 100%, do you have room unless you slide Turner from third to first and move guys all over the place, whereas the Yankees have a glaring need right now at shortstop, and they could go out and just spend the money that they have to get another all-star caliber player to add to their roster, which if you're an Astros fan, you kind of like. Because then hopefully they don't want to go after Carlos Correa in a few years, too.
Yeah, well, others will, right? Red Sox or maybe moving to third, or like you said, Dodgers might.
Yeah.
I have a feeling Correa is going to have plenty of suitors unless he keeps playing like he's playing. And nobody's going to want to touch him.
The question that I have with Carlos Correa is, much like what we had when we kept seeing Springer wince every now and then in the batter's box, at least we know with Springer it was a thumb, and they said after the season with rest and everything else, he'll be fine.
Yep.
Correa, you don't know.
Nope.
And back issues are no joke, and they don't clear up normally very quickly. So it's going to be interesting to see if that's a lingering injury, or hopefully that's an injury that will take care of itself in the offseason, or they'll have something they can do to take care of it for him.
If he needs like surgery or something, man, go get it done as soon as these playoffs are over with. As soon as you win that world championship, bring it home, boys!
I've had back issues, not like him, obviously, but I'll tell you this. The doctors will tell you time and time again,
if you can avoid surgery.
Yeah, unlike what they've perfected with ACLs and things like that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's tougher.
I had like a herniated disc in C67. Yep. And
oh, boom, I had the exact same injury.
And they were like, no, if you can, just do physical therapy. And I did it for 7 months.
back to 100%. I had lost 99% of the strength in my left tricep. I couldn't do a push-up. I couldn't turn the steering wheel of a car.
I couldn't get a basketball from the free throw line to the rim when it got bad. And I could not, when I was doing the Rockets during commercial breaks, I had to lay on the floor and put my feet on the desk just to get my discs to sit back.
Right. Yeah.
So it's no fun.
Nope.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you want to chime in on back surgery, we're here for you. If you want to chime in on baseball, basketball, football, or otherwise, we're here for you as well. It's an FBF Friday on The Usual Suspect. Don't go anywhere. Back with more ESPN 97.5. Yeah.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Americans, like, we have this reputation of being very ignorant of, like, world events. Like, we don't really pay attention to international affairs. I think that's a fair stereotype. I'm a social studies teacher, and my job is to fight that every day, try to get kids to, like, Americans to, like, give a shit about other stuff besides America. And it's hard. But I think I figured out a plan. I have a program that I use with my kids. It gets them to care about what's going on. And that program is very simple. It's four words. It's called the Syrian War Fantasy League. Which, that would work! It would work! F*** you! It would work. You'd have Americans following global politics on a weekly basis. On a weekly basis. And look, some of y'all are offended. And that's good. You should be offended. It's very offensive. But I stand by it. And the reason why I stand by it is because let me back up. So, no, hold on. Colin Kaepernick. You know Colin Kaepernick, that football player, right? Didn't stand up for the... So, like him, like, okay, make some noise if you feel that Colin Kaepernick should just get over himself and just stand up for the flag because people have died for it. Okay, some of y'all, that's fair. Now, make some noise if you feel that he has the right to kneel down if he wants and he's making a valid point about race relations in America. All right, yeah, I get it, Austin. Now, make some noise if you are against the recently vetoed UN resolution regarding the Syrian crisis that has murdered 300,000 people. Exactly. You don't know what the I'm talking about, and that's why we need the Syrian War Fantasy League. Because then...
There you go. Good stuff from Joffer Khan, Houstonian.
See what I mean? Dude. See what I mean about smart? Like, I would have never... That's just, to me, that is so... I'm not going to say brilliant because I'm not going to sit here and ball wash the guy like that.
Phenomenal.
But he's a smart writer. He really is. And something like that, I just love. I love when you can see a comic put that much thought into a joke. This is really good.
And it works.
Yeah. Really good.
Definitely. So good stuff there. Not so sure we get good stuff here. On the phone. On hold, your boy who is...
By the way, he texted the show after the first segment when I was saying how frazzled and flustered I was. And
yes.
Crazy morning, and he said, it's my duty to cheer Barry up today, so by the end of the show, he will either feel a lot better or really pissed off. And now he's on the phone. This could go either way.
I'm got a tendency to believe it's going one way more than the other, but we'll see. You kind of turned the corner against him midweek, so we'll see. OU Mike, first of all, don't keep calling in and hanging up after we promo you. I'm glad you hung in there. We had to get to you today because we're afraid you're going to hang up again. What's going on?
Yeah, you chicken.
Well, when I don't have my Depends on, I'm a little less confident than I usually am. But I want y'all to quit giving Clarence such a hard time because when they bring back Soul Train, me and my guy Clarence, we're international superstars. But in the meantime, Clarence, I want you to practice this line. Put your hands together for the world-renowned and most mighty. If we can get that down, we'll be good to go. I also wanted to talk about Barry and Nick fighting all week long over this match. So I think as a group, you guys and the listeners, there's a lot of testosterone going. I think we need to make it out to the New Kids on the Block concert featuring Debbie Gibson and Tiffany, Salt and Pepper, Yeah. It may get a little bit awkward, though, like when Jerry's singing I'll Be Loving You and pointing back at the band on stage with his head kind of turned on his shoulder. That may get a little bit awkward, but other than that, I think maybe we can get him drunk after the concert and take him to the tattoo shop and have, like, Nike swooshes put on his eyebrows for permanently. I think that'd work pretty good. Anyway, you guys have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mike. See you. You too.
Did you just put Jerry and the New Kids on the Block? I'm kinda, pretty sure I think, just made Jerry a New Kid on the Block.
I think Mike, one or two jokes in, if he cut it right there, would have been fine.
It wasn't bad. I like the comparison of Clarence to Don Cornelius.
Yep.
From on Soul Train. Pretty yep. good comparison.
90
there.
Seconds, minute and a half. But that was a lot of material. So, you know,
how long was the clip that we played from Joffer? About the same?
It was. It was a minute. That last one was almost 2 minutes.
All you Mike's call seemed like it was 10 minutes compared to that.
It did. It really did. Yeah. All you Mike's better when it's quick and one and out. But he's actually right, too. Because I know people that are very excited about New Kids on the Block, Debbie Gibson, Tiffany, and Salt-N-Pepa are touring. They're at Toyota Center May 15th.
You going, Nick?
No.
I mean, that's, you know.
No.
It's your thing, right?
No.
What have you heard anything wider in the last couple of weeks than OU Mike saying salt and peppa?
Yeah.
Peppa? That was pretty hard to listen to him trying to say.
How about when he said what?
Just OU Mike, just own it. Be like salt and pepper. Just own it. Don't try to.
When he told Clarence what to say and tried to say it like Don Cornelius, it was the same thing.
Also pretty uncomfortable.
Yes, yeah. Very much so. But yeah, Adrian and Tracy from the PR girl for the Rockets is like a diehard New Kids on the Block fan. She's distraught because New Kids are coming while the Rockets are in the playoffs. She may be on the road. She's contemplating flying back for the concert because that's how much she is.
So I heard that they got back together like 2 years ago, but I didn't think they'd still be touring. I thought it'd be like a temporary thing.
If they're making money,
there's a fan base.
What else are they going to do besides Donnie being married to what's her name? Jenny McCarthy.
I don't love anyone that much to fly back to watch them in concert.
Me either.
I'm sorry. Mm-mm. There's not a single group, band, artist. If Marvin Gaye was still alive, and I love Marvin Gaye, one of my favorite, him and Otis Redding probably go down as my two favorite artists of all time. If they were still alive and it was their last concert ever and I got front row and backstage, I'm not flying back for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, some people just have that strong fan base. Because I remember Ray Charles.
I hope I have fans like that one day.
Dude, you should have seen Ray Charles. Some of the last performances that he had, dude, he was not even like pronouncing. He wasn't enunciating the words completely in his lyrics. But people were still going. So, like, really? It just depends on how strong your fan is.
Did you go?
No, I've seen. I was a big fan of Ray Charles for a while when I saw that movie. Who was it, Jamie Foxx?
Right.
Yeah. So I just started reading up about him and just reading about his life and stuff like that. I started watching some of his old concerts. Like, in the early 2000s, they were terrible. Like, you couldn't understand what he was saying. But people would still go.
So, a good example of that,
no
Tom
Ed
Arnold.
Sullivan. No Ed Sullivan, no Johnny Carson, no Ed McMahon, but my man's diving into Ray Charles.
Well, I saw a movie that, you know, that told me about it, so.
You know, it was like that now a little bit as Tom Arnold. I watched him when I was in L.A. I went to go see our boy Jerry.
Yeah.
He was featuring for him at the Hollywood Improv.
Really?
At the Brea Improv.
Wow.
And so Jerry, I was like, Jerry, yeah, I'm going to come hang out and watch you, and, you know, we'll go do some stuff afterwards. And I watched Jerry, and then we started watching Tom Arnold, and it was atrocious. He had, it was like he had nothing prepared. And you can tell he's so old and been so out of touch with stand-up that he was trying to tell stories. They weren't funny. They really didn't have a punchline. It was like, man, it's time to stop.
Well, you heard about him recently, right?
No.
His most recent thing was that he's in some kind of a tiff with, I think, a writer that's married to an actress that also is in Hollywood. And He attacked the guy at a party. There was like a big party
that
for a premiere, and just out of the blue, he attacked him. And they got into a back and forth like punching exchange, and they were arrested. And then he denied the whole thing happened, and people had it on tape and everything like that. I was like, wow, I forgot Tom Arnold was even still around. Remember,
until Jerry featured for him.
The Best Damn Sports Show?
Yeah,
when they decided
he told stories about that.
The whole sports thing
talked
would go
about John Sally's penis for way too long, way too long.
Evidently, that's a thing, by the way.
Yes. He said, to break the ice, he goes, so I hear you have a large penis. And John Snyder was like, yeah. He goes, can I see it? And he said, yeah. And he showed him. And he said, we were best buds after that. Well, yeah, once you see a man's penis, you kind of have to be best buds, right? That's a rule.
No, it's not. It's not a rule at all. Not a rule.
By the way, somebody texted the show and said, is OU Mike supposed to be funny? I'm confused. I mean, it's not for everybody.
He's just a friend of the show.
Yeah.
He is who he is.
Speaking of friends of the show.
Yes.
Up Cody next, Stutes. 2:30, Cody Stutes going to join us to talk football.
He's going to bring that shirt, too, so it's a 2-for-1.
Oh, boy. You got to go to the live stream and see.
Yeah. Holy moly. By the way, Tom Arnold.
Magnum P.I. is here in the house.
Got into it with Mark Burnett, who I guess was the executive producer of Trump's show.
No clue.
Because
he hates Trump.
Yeah, so he's... Well,
he's,
so he's
trying to find some sort of, what is it, like...
He's mad that Mark Burnett has the tapes on Trump with the race, racial epithets and everything like that. So when he saw Mark Burnett, he was so mad about it that he physically assaulted him.
Yeah.
That's what Tom Arnold's up to these days. All right, you know what? We know what Cody Stutes is up to these days. He's looking for someone that can be a fashion advisor, and he's going to join us next with his insight on weekend college and pro football. Don't go anywhere. It's the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. And with that on a Friday, F yeah, Cody Stutes, as the man, the myth, the legend, and the shirt that he's wearing is all present and accounted for here in the studio. You can follow him at Cody underscore Stutes, S-T-O-O-T-S. You can also follow him on sportsmap.com, where he is a huge contributor to the site. And his focus right now is on football. He covers the Texans on a daily basis. He knows a little something or two about college football as well. So with that,
Nick,
Cody, welcome
You don't need to be in here adjusting the camera.
Hold on. Let me explain the shirt.
No.
Let me explain the shirt.
I can't. I'm
You're
sorry.
A Magnum P.I. fan.
Real quick.
Yes. Not the reboot. I like the old stuff.
You couldn't do the Ferrari, so at least you did the shirt.
Exactly.
Guy, listen. Where's Nick? Nick, can you turn his mic up? I can't hear him over that shirt.
Oh.
It's way too loud.
Put that in the next act.
Yeah. What is up with this?
So here's the thing that you run into.
You lost a bet.
No. Here's the thing you run into when you're a fat guy. Okay. You run into this thing where when it gets to this kind of weather where it's going to start cool and get a little bit warmer throughout the day, you got to find a shirt that is like temperature good throughout the whole day.
Okay.
Because if I wore anything that had like just like
a sleeve,
a little bit of sleeve, I'm sweating to death like right now outside.
Okay.
Okay. And the AC's broken my truck. So I got to get some wind blowing in the shirt.
Right.
And these work. And Hawaiian shirts are really soft. Really comfortable,
but
and as a fat
why don't
guy,
you just go straight mesh.
As a fat guy, you can pull it off.
Why don't you get one of those fishing shirts? My dad wears those year round.
With the but panels.
It's got the panels with the mesh that allow air in to cool off your fat.
So those are not comfortable for fat guys.
Why? My dad's a fat guy.
Yeah, but the fat guy ones.
Sorry, Dad.
They don't fit as good as a Hawaiian shirt.
Why did you just grab both nipples when you did that?
No, it's just the
what
shirt.
About? Okay, so they do make pants. With the legs that unzip.
No,
and they convert to shorts.
I've never done
why
that.
Why don't you invent a fat guy shirt that is for, you know,
the
fall in Houston, where you can zip the sleeve off.
That's terrible.
And it's like a convertible shirt.
I went through a love-hate relationship.
It can't be worse than that.
I went through a love-hate relationship with the Hawaiian shirts.
Uh-huh.
First day of, like, orientation at Texas Tech when I was going there to be a student. I wore a Hawaiian shirt, and I sat down in orientation, and everyone else did not look like a 45-year-old dad that was there to drop off their kid. And I was like, all right. So I'm going to hit Walmart real quick. Give me some T-shirts.
Yeah.
Stop wearing Hawaiian shirts. I did pull a number that day, though.
Did you?
The first day of orientation.
Good for you.
Never called her.
She was
probably thinking.
How old was she? 70?
Hey, you had a dad teacher.
She was a teacher.
She comes up to Cody. I don't know if you're into younger women, but here's my number.
Now,
oh man,
Barry, Cody tweeted out.
Okay,
About to hit ESPN 97.5 at 2:30 with Pac-Man Joel, Barry is Funny, and Nick to talk Bills Texans.
Uh-huh.
And why you got to pay Clowney, which is his article we'll get to. And the last part is why Barry looks like a thumb.
Yeah, why do I look like a thumb?
Dude, you just look like a thumb.
Who said that? Somebody said
he did last week.
You look like a thumb that got hit.
Oh, that's right.
You got hit on the end like with a hammer because like the your top, you got like
a
little bit of hair.
Is it dented a little bit in there? Do I have a dent?
No. No.
Why do I look like a thumb?
No, you're coming to me because I was ugly last week and I said you look like a thumb.
So you're just trying to stretch it out now.
Yeah.
Trying to make it work. Around.
Well, you have to take a shot.
Call back. Get paid, Barry.
He's stretching it out like the shirt.
You wore that shirt to come in here and diss me.
Yeah. You know what I don't look like in this shirt? A thumb with a Hawaiian shirt on.
No, you look like a homeless surfer. You didn't shave. You're just, it's a wreck over there.
Barry,
and you come in taking shots at me.
He's going to U of H and Rice after this to see if that work's going to draw him some ass.
Nice.
I was actually thinking about this because, like, if I put this on, I got to wear this rest of the day, and the girlfriend wants to go on a date, and I'm like, you know what? She's pot committed at this point. I'm wearing this out. She's going to have to explain to anybody in the ass, why are you with that 90-year-old dude over there?
It's easy
where
she's like, me and my dad are out for a stroll.
Where are you taking her on the date? Are y'all going to Luby's and then to Bingo? What the hell are you doing?
Hey, you laugh. You can pull some cash at Bingo.
I thought you were going to say, get some ass at Bingo. I was like, I bet you can in that shirt.
No, I can't.
Once you've done if you do comedy at the American Legion, you don't need Bingo anymore. You're not a thumb.
Nice, nice. Thank
you're welcome.
Nice. Not today, Satan.
No, not God, today. Come on.
Not today.
I'm sticking it for you in the thumb. I didn't know where that
you're
came
trying
from.
To take a shot. That was
no!
your. That was yeah. It's yesterday. It was Nick with the subtle blast. Today it's you.
I don't know what you're
nice
talking
try.
About.
Barry's all over right, here hammering me about down. My shirt with a shirt from the mall in 2002.
What? Oh, jeez, it's just going to keep going.
Wrong, 2003.
Yeah.
Bitch. I like this shirt. I just don't wear it enough.
You sure?
Yeah, it's, huh?
Okay.
It was 2 for $30 at the Galleria.
So do you,
2 for $30?
Yeah.
No, it's like 2 for $10, bro. What are you talking about? This is a baseball shirt.
All right, can we talk about Clowney?
I mean,
Barry,
we can. You started
would you
it.
Pay Clowney now to make sure he doesn't go to free agency?
No, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well,
I'd let him walk.
Flip side, sportsmap.com, or hear it from the man himself who wrote the article, Cody Stutes. You say you should pay him now. Why?
So here's why you have to pay Clowney, and here's why it's only going to end with you paying Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney did not treat the Texans like Khalil Mack treated the Raiders, but he will treat the Texans like Le'Veon Bell treated the Steelers. And that, I fully believe that. If you try to franchise tag Jadeveon Clowney, he's not going to show.
Okay.
It'll be the Khalil Mack thing all over again. But worse, it'll be the Le'Veon Bell thing, because if he doesn't sign the franchise tag and he just sits and sits and sits, you can't trade him. So everybody that wants to call in for the trade him and all that stuff, you can't trade that guy unless he signs the tag,
but
he'll
Cody,
just sit.
He already has treated the Texans like Le'Veon Bell, because whether you like it or not, he hasn't held out. He just doesn't show up. He's always hurt. When he's hurt, he's at casinos. He doesn't play nearly the snaps of the guys that he wants to be paid like. So when you say go pay him, I understand if he's going to be paid a reasonable salary. But if he wants the money that he's saying he wants, like Aaron Donald, like a Khalil Mack, where are the numbers to back that up to say that that's what he should get?
So you've got to find a happy medium, because you can't pay him like those guys, but you're not going to get him on a discount. So you've got to find a happy medium in some way, shape, or form. The Texans have a ton of cap room. Like, so you can get rid of a large portion of this salary. Because what's everybody worried about with Clowney and paying Clowney? Is if he gets hurt again and he's bad at the end of the contract. Dude's only missed 3 games in the past 3 seasons. He missed 1 game this year. He missed 2 games 2 years ago. Okay? So he's missed 3 games in 3 years. The past 2 seasons that he's played, one season where he only played 14 games, he was the leader in tackles for a loss in the league. Like, I understand that he's never going to be the megastar, the big pass rusher, the 20-sack guy that you thought. But, like, the dude has value, has tons of value. And for everybody that's going to come at me with the, well, what about Watt? What about Merciless helping him out? Last year when Watt and Merciless were both out because they got seriously hurt, like season-ending injury hurt when Clowney was playing, when both those guys were out, Clowney went on a 5-game sack streak. So, like, well, don't tell me he's not consistent and he doesn't have talent, because he went on a 5-game sack streak when no one was there to help him and the coverage was – everything was bad and the dude was balling out.
How long has he been in the league?
This is coming up on his 5th year.
How many of those streaks has he had?
A sack streak?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't go
– How many times has he played in 16 games?
He's played in 16 games once.
Okay. I just
but, miss, but 3 games in 3 years is not a bad deal.
But the fact of the matter is he's wildly inconsistent. He didn't show up until game 5 of this year.
No. You got to go back and watch those games. Didn't show until game five.
Look, if he wreaks the havoc that he did when he was in the backfield and all over the place recently, I can understand that there's value there. But again, Barry and I broke this down from the time that I said that when Khalil Mack wanted to be traded, if you're the Texans, you should trade Clowney and go after him, because when you compare the two of them, it's night and day. I think Barry pulled up the exact numbers, and Mack had almost double the statistical achievements of Clowney. And to me, I looked at it and I go, I know this guy's going to want that kind of money, but where has he proven that he's worth it? Because it's over time.
I got an idea.
Okay. Cody's going to give us an idea on the way back. He's going to stick with us for another segment, so we'll continue to kick this around a little bit and other things. Don't go anywhere. It is hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. We know that there are people that are still digging out from the hurricane. We know that in the process of doing that, you know that you find out in a bad way. There are storm chasers and people that are out to get your money up front, and then they're not going to do anything after the fact except for to take your money and run. That is why you need a quality local roofer like the people at Fitz Roofing. They are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to get this elite status. They have it, and that means they use CertainTeed shingles, which are simply the best. Their base warranties are longer than your average roofer, and they go out of their way before, during, and after the sale to be customer service friendly and to be there for you, to take care of you, to make sure that you not only are happy, but you spread the word. That's why they have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. And oh, by the way, free, no-obligation inspections are available right now. All you got to do is log on to fitzroofing.com. That's F-I-T-Z. Or you can call them 832-521-3001 to set up that free, no-obligation inspection. They'll come to you. They'll check out your roof. They'll tell you what they can do. And then they'll leave it to you to decide if you want to go with them or go with somebody else. But I'm telling you, they're the company to go with because they're locally owned and operated. They're dedicated to the community. And they're going to make sure that you get a great deal done and you have the best roof that you've ever had. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time. Give them a call right now.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock when the Blitz takes over. And joining us is Cody Stutes. And before we talk Texans, though, you know, one of the things that you can do if you're confident in what you think our boys over there on Kirby are going to do is get a little action on that Texans game, and you can do that through MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is as important as who you are betting with. MyBookie is the online destination to get action on any game. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been around for a long time now. They've been in business for years. It's why I recommend them. It's why a lot of folks use them. And you know what? It's cool, man, because a lot of times you get on some of these apps that you can do gambling and bet on, get some action on these games, and it's difficult to get your money back. Not so with MyBookie, man. When you win, they pay you, and that's super important. They have in-game live bettings. They have all these player perks and rewards. Some of the best in the business, really. And if you're a fantasy guy and you like to bet on all kinds of stuff, you can even bet the over-under on how many points a player will score each game in fantasy. So tons of stuff to do if you're just jonesing to get some action on. Just on your phone or your computer, you can Google MyBookie, or you can go to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Sign up now, and they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That's a dollar-for-dollar match. I did not misspeak or read that wrong. All you got to do is use promo code RADIO to get that dollar-for-dollar match. It's super easy. Just mybookie.ag, promo code RADIO, get that dollar-for-dollar match. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. That said, if I were to make you bet at MyBookie, Cody, who are you putting money on? Because that's a big line. 10 points for this Texans team, the last time I looked, 10 points. I know what the competition is. What are you doing if you were going to go to my bookie and bet? Which way are you leaning?
Gosh, I would probably lead on the Bills to cover that, just because the Texans have, you know, been the play down to their competition team
right
so far. The Bills actually have a fairly decent defense when you look at some of the players. Got a pretty good corner in Tre'Davious White. Jerry Hughes is a nice pass rusher. And they don't give up a lot of yards. The Texans, one of the best teams in getting yards. Obviously, tough to convert those into points sometimes for this team. But the Bills, I think, seventh in the league in total overall yards and really good against the pass. And so when you look at those things and you combine those with some of the amazing Deshaun Watson plays you've seen these past couple of weeks, maybe limited or aren't there, if he's keeping himself a lot safer than he has been keeping himself, then you take care of, you know, you point to the Bills keeping this thing close. I think the Texans will play close games or lose games big for basically the rest of the year. Like, I just don't see that this is the type of team that's really going to blow a lot of teams out.
Okay. So you look at what you saw in the aftermath on Sunday Night Football. Yes, they got the win. Yes, you saw a little bit of what we talked about. Clowney and Watt were destructive. They did some things. But offensively, the storyline coming out was Deshaun took way too much of a beating. The line was coming off the board this week because we didn't know if he was even going to play. Does the line become the scapegoat? I mean, does the injury become the scapegoat so that Bill O'Brien doesn't put Deshaun in harm's way anymore this week and going forward? Because I understand he was saying the right things, Bill O'Brien. We've heard all that before. But this is your franchise quarterback.
Sure.
Some of them were Deshaun's decisions.
Yes.
But the ones that weren't, those play calls where he was butting up against linebackers and D linemen and guys getting a whole head of steam, it's scary because of how important this guy is to this franchise.
So the whole offensive staff failed when the first time Deshaun got to the edge and he didn't beat Jalen Smith. Because if you didn't beat him the first time, you weren't beating him the next five times.
No.
You took those giant hits. So O'Brien has to find a way to manage those plays, the creativity and the stuff that gets them good yards and, you know, gives them a chance to score touchdowns. He has to find a way to do that without putting Watson in harm's way. And then Deshaun's just got to make better decisions with the football. Like, dude, you've got to throw the ball away and just live to fight another day, especially against defenses that you're having a good game against. They moved the ball against the Cowboys. They just couldn't punch it in. And I thought, look, the play call's ridiculous sometimes down there in the red zone, but I thought there were a couple plays. You go back and look, it's like, damn, Deshaun should have made a better play on this. These receivers should have made a better play. The fade to Hopkins was a terrible throw by Deshaun, and he coaches out that little stuff. Like, that stuff gets coached out of him really quick because some of the mistakes that you saw him make in, you know, week three, he didn't make in week four. And some of the mistakes you saw him make in week two, he didn't make in week three. And so you hope that some of that easy stuff gets coached out. And so some of those plays are the quick, you know, flip to QT for a touchdown, the quick, you know, dart to somebody for a touchdown. And you don't have to take those.
But things. Here's part of the problem with that, because the Texans' offensive line is so bad, and they pointed this out on the broadcast. Part of the problem is you can't send four guys into coverage. You got to keep a tight end to block. You're limited now to two guys in a route. And when you're on the 1 yard line, you're not going to have many options trying to protect Deshaun Watson and not give up a costly sack at that point.
That's where you've got to put stuff in that gives that defense just a second of
pause.
Yeah,
like a jumbo package and run the football.
If you use it to decoy.
Yes.
Bootleg,
because there was a play, like the Shanahan family and Kubiak is great for this. Like, if you want to get Deshaun moving and use his legs as a weapon, get some of those heavy, you know, those heavy rollouts. Because how many times do we see Matt Schaub just take that huge rollout? No one's near him. He's got all the time in the world to make a play. Like, get some of those for Deshaun going.
And three levels of a post.
Yeah. And just get some of those going. Like, you've got to eliminate the chance on those hits. So if it is adjusting a little bit, if it is taking some of those things out, the offensive line improved a ton, but they still weren't good enough because some of the hits he took, they went from 7 sacks and I think 11 hits to 10 quarterback hits and 1 sack. Like, that's pretty good. It's still not good enough. Like, you've got to solidify that, take less hits. Watson's got to run into less hits. And if that's the case, you should be able, like, you would hope the perfect script for this game is to get up by 21-24 And then Deshaun Watts could take a sit, and Brandon Wheaton could just hand it off to the running backs for a quarter.
What running backs? Okay, so that's what I was getting at. Yeah. So you know Miller's hurt, but he's coming back. But there's concerns about, is he ever going to be – is he already hit that wall that we talk about with running backs? And also, two-part question, just what are you hearing on the secondary? Because now you got no Webster, no Johnson, no Colvin. You're losing guys there. You don't have enough depth on the other side of the ball. Running back and secondary really bother me going forward.
So the running back's going to bother you till Deontay Foreman gets back, and then after that, because he's coming back from a really serious injury. Betting on him is the wrong thing to bet on. Alfred Blue, he had one carry for 17 yards last week, and outside of that on his carries, he averaged 1.5 yards a carry.
Right.
So they fixed the pass protection a little bit. They've got to get some run blocking going and something going up there. And then the secondary, I mean, Sharice Wright was on the injury report this week with, I think, a thumb injury or a wrist injury, but he should be good to go. That's the guy you're going to have to lean on. J.J. had his best game of the season against the Cowboys, but, I mean, he's one big cushion away from giving up a first down at this point in his career. And you just kind of look. It's like they brought up Mike Tyson, who's a DB who can play maybe a little bit of safety, a little bit of corner. They want to keep
Kareem. He's a hell of a knockout puncher.
They want to keep Kareem at safety, but you're just going to have to play him in some spots at corner. Thankfully, the Bills just are wrecks throwing the football. Yeah. Kelvin Benjamin's one of the worst number one wide receivers in football. They've thrown the ball 20 times to him. He's only caught 8 of those. Like, that's the worst in the league. Like, he's just bad. They're bad on offense. And then Josh Allen has a 1.7 passer rating when he's pressured.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
I'm telling you that if you're one of the people that believes the Texans can get something going and we're worthy of talking about one game back in the division, and you think you might even start using the G word, which is good with them.
No, don't you.
Then they blow these guys out. They dominate them from whistle to whistle.
Is that
going to
happen?
Finish. No, they play down. They play down to their competition.
So are they winning?
Yes, they're winning.
They're not going to cover.
No.
But they're going to win.
Yes.
Okay.
But doesn't it come down to which Bills team shows up? Because if it's the Bills team that beat the Vikings, the Bills team that beat the Titans, you got your hands full.
I mean, the Texans took the leading rusher in Ezekiel Elliott with a really good offensive line, and he had, I think, 81 total yards in the game.
Yeah.
I know the Bills just had their best rushing game of the season last week. That's a bad offensive line, and that's an old beat-up LeSean McCoy back there. The Texans destroy run games.
And they moved the ball against a pretty good Dallas defense overall. Yes. I mean, like you said, they just struggled in the one-yard line zone.
They'll turn some of those into touchdowns. Maybe they give up a big player here because Allen's got a big arm, and he can put it where he needs to on some occasions. But they should take care of business with ease against the Bills, but at the same time, they've played down to their competition.
The road
That's why I think it's
to
close.
The Super Bowl starts now.
Dude, you got to have this game or any
it's
hopes,
over.
Any hopes
it's over.
Of optimism after the bye week are gone.
Yeah.
Just absolutely gone. Got to have this game.
All right.
What are you guys
I see
doing?
You scheming over there.
Are you guys
scheming with Nick a little bit
Were
over
you?
There? All right, Cody, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Again, Cody is a great follow on Twitter at @Cody_Stutes. And of course, follow him on sportsmap.com where
and
you can get any and all of the great articles that he writes.
Where can they check out your fashion blog?
If you want to know where to get the shirt, hit me up.
Well done, young man.
That's what we were scheming. Thank you very much, Magnum PI. Cody, joining us on
That's
Fridays
great.
At 2:30. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.